This
is Mythical.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome to Best Friends Back, All Right, the show where two high school best friends try the best friend thing again. I'm Stevie Wynn Levine.
And I'm Nekin Homaifer.
And today we have a very special, very tall guest. It's Rhett McLaughlin.
Hey!
Hi.
Round of applause from the studio.
Wow.
Now, when you first approached me, because you're such a big fan of the show, to be on.
Right.
The first thing I thought was, I'm going to have to ask my boss.
Okay.
And then when Link said it was okay.
Oh, hey, come on, Stevie.
The second thing I thought was, we got to talk about food, and we got to talk about lunchtime more specifically.
Well, I'm always thinking about food. I eat lunch daily.
Same. Nagin, do you eat lunch daily?
I do. It's a new thing, but it's happening.
It's a new thing. Previously, you were anti-lunch.
No, honestly, it was just a bad joke. We can just keep going.
You're doing some intermittent fasting, this old skip lunch diet.
I wish. I could never skip lunch.
I don't know about your weeks. I don't want to start off in this place, but I did want to let you both know I've had a little bit of a traumatic week
my
end.
Uh-oh.
What happened?
So it started months ago. I'm going to take you back. Cassie had a special gift request. She really wanted a proper, sharp chef's knife in the kitchen. Mm. And so we got this Japanese chef's knife. It's very, very sharp. And I've been enjoying using it until a few days ago when I dropped the knife onto my foot.
Oh, no. Oh. Really?
Yes.
Onto a toe?
Well, yes. Okay, so I was wearing socks. And Cassie had just approached me, and it was like, you know when something really terrible happens and it's like plays in slow motion, but like in real time? And Cassie literally was like, are you serious? As the knife had just hit the floor after hitting me, and she goes, are you serious?
That's
and
I was like, yeah. Knife.
Yeah. And so I took off my sock, not knowing, like I knew it hit me. I just didn't know where it hit me. And I took off my sock, and of course, I can't look at it because I, you know, faint when I see anything. And it cut, like, a large part of one of my toes. And so now I'm, like, hobbling around everywhere.
Which toe? Oh. An important one?
The middle toe? The middle toe, I think?
That might be one of the most important ones.
The third from the, you know.
Really? I was going to say that might be one of the least important because you have bones on both sides.
You would think.
And I think the little one is the least important.
No. The little one is very important.
Really? I'm prepared to like give that up in like a hostage situation.
I need to rethink this. I think the second one from the right, the second one in, not from the right, depends on what foot.
Okay.
Would be the one to go. But surprisingly, that's not the most traumatic part of my week.
But you didn't have to, you can't just move on. Did you have to go to the ER?
I chose not to. We put like a tourniquet situation. Like, it was taken care of. It wasn't bleeding that much. I elevated it. Oh my gosh.
Do you guys have health insurance? Yes,
is that we do.
I just really didn't want to go so that they could look at it and be like, yep, that's a cut. Like, yep. And my mom, of course, was like, I hope it didn't cut any muscle. And I'm like, Mom, have you seen my toes or like toes in general? Like, there's not anything. There's no muscle.
That foot muscle.
I have like finger toes. It's just like bone and skin. But I said it wasn't the most traumatic part of my week. And that is because my usual weekly call with my parents. Now, I get updates like we landscaped the yard. We fed the fish in the pond. Like, these are the updates that I like. You know, my parents live in rural Virginia. But this week, my mom was like, well...
Your mom sounds like your dad.
Yeah.
Well,
no, he's lower.
Well,
she's higher. Well, your sister's boyfriend, he found a dildo near the mailbox.
What?
Is he going to keep it? Is he looking for the owner? Did he put up a sign? Like, what do you do
I
next?
I want to know. Yeah.
I didn't expect us to be here. I was going to ask about the new paint job that you had done. But here we are talking about a stranger's dildo near the mailbox.
You don't know that. It could have been a delivery, and like the delivery man got embarrassed and just couldn't quite get all the way to the mailbox. He's like, I'll just leave it here.
He's like, I'm going to take it out of the box. And I guess, like, after a day, like, no one touched it, of course. And then, like, after a day, it was just gone. So I don't know what the story is. Like, either somebody was driving by on the gravel road, by the way. It's a gravel road. And was like, there's a dildo. It's not mine, but I want it. And then they grabbed it. Or, like, someone was like, whoops, I left my dildo at the side of the gravel road. And I forgot it. Now I need to grab it. I don't know the origin or the departure of the dildo.
I'm
that
very
was
interested
near the mailbox.
In how it got
Gosh.
There.
But I didn't want to hear that update from my mom. And I also had her on speakerphone as I was walking through the neighborhood after the dildo initial story. And then at the end of the conversation, maybe it's in my blood. She likes to bring it back around. And that's when she re-emphasized the dildo. And, of course, an elderly neighbor was just, you know, TV show placement right as I was passing by. So that's my trauma.
Were you surprised that your mom knew the word for a dildo?
Yeah.
Did she describe it or she – okay.
At first she called it a daldo. But
she didn't give any details, though. She didn't give color, size, battery powered.
She's like, it actually looked pretty small in comparison to the ones I've seen. No.
This is a mystery.
Oh. No. And that brings us to the topic of lunch. Did you guys have any trauma? And did you have non-trauma based weeks before we move on? I don't want to hog the week catch-up conversation.
I didn't see any dildos.
That's so unusual for you.
So I guess I came out all right.
And my in-laws were in town, so, you know, I definitely didn't see any.
Okay, we're going all the way back to high school. This is the first episode where going back to high school doesn't mean the same thing for all three of us because
I'm
despite
old.
Your youthful appearance, you're about a decade older than us. And so... you know, high school in the early 90s versus high school in the early 2000s. I'm very curious because we're all in North Carolina, but you're in small town North Carolina. So let's start with your school, your high school. You went to public school.
Oh, yes.
And how big was the school? Like, how many students?
1,000 students.
Total.
Yeah.
So you approximately had 250 kids only in your class.
Well, you know, we had a lot of dropouts. So it was not unusual to drop out.
You started strong, right?
Did that call for multiple lunch periods?
Two, yeah. There was two lunch periods. I know that Link was in like both of them. There may have been one year that he wasn't.
Two lunch periods?
No, I'm just feeling like we always had lunch together, except maybe one year. But junior and senior year, we definitely had like our friend group pretty much ate together.
Yeah, that would really suck when you did not have the same lunch period as your friends. It also reminds me of, like, when you had PE in, like, the first or second period.
And just sweaty for the rest of the day.
You guys would shower, though. I've heard you talk about that. You like, showered at school.
No, that was probably college that we were talking about, showering in the locker room. I mean, there occasionally, but like things had to get really bad for you to take the risk of showering.
There was no way in hell I would ever shower anywhere on the Grimsley campus, ever.
Yeah, I didn't even know they had running water in the gym. No, I didn't even know that was an option. There was no time. Every class period was just like you were hanging on for dear life trying to get to the next class.
Oh my God.
So there was... Speaking no of, time.
Do you remember that kid? This is so far away from lunch, and I'm sorry, but it just reminds me. Do you remember that kid who he had a stopwatch around his neck, and he would time himself to get to class? The old science building had a door, and there was like a little window in the door, and he was rushing so hard to get to class that he, instead of pushing the door part, he pushed the glass part. His hand went all the way through. You don't remember this? Went all the way through the freaking glass. And I saw the aftermath because there was like drops of blood and a freaking broken window and blood all over the thing because this kid was trying to get to class
He would sprint?
Yes. He sprinted so hard. He sprinted through the door.
Was he on the track team? What was he trying to prove? Trying to invent a new sport?
I don't know.
Hey, public school was hard. Public school was really difficult. I feel for him.
He was trying to avoid someone, maybe.
I don't know. I feel bad for the kid. Don't remember his name, but I feel
bad for
him.
I'm sure he's gone on to great things.
Okay, so early lunch and late lunch. I remember you didn't really want to get early lunch because it was too early.
Yeah, early lunch was like 11 or something.
Yeah.
You know, it was
like a brunch.
It was never too early for me.
I remember always being so hungry by the time we got to lunch period.
See, I didn't love lunch. I didn't love the available options. I didn't love the packable lunch situation. I loved lunch time, and we'll talk about our senior year because we had off campus privileges. Did you have off campus?
I mean, we may have had them, but there was nowhere to go. You know, it's like I think they were like, you can leave if you want, and nobody was like, what am I going to do? I'm going to go into this field. Like, we literally were surrounded by fields.
Where did you eat lunch every day?
Just the cafeteria.
Inside the cafeteria. There wasn't like an outdoor area or anything.
There was a place you could smoke.
Oh, it was legal for students to there smoke was, cigarettes?
In the 90s, yes. It was. It may have actually phased out while we were students, but there was a smoking pit.
A pit?
It was like...
What do you mean? Like an amphitheater?
It was like a big ashtray.
It was this area that was like dropped down a couple of steps that was very near the entrance to the high school. And that was where you could smoke.
Oh my God.
Would you take your lunch to school or would you buy from the cafeteria?
I'd say the senior year was definitely like you were always buying lunch. You never brought it at that point.
Because you know, it was cool.
It was cool to buy lunch. Yeah, it was just cooler to just not be carrying around your lunch in whatever container it might have been in. Yeah, I brought my lunch a lot in elementary school. But I love school lunch. Every single thing for the entire history of first through 12th grade, every main entree, every side. Like, I can't remember anything not being good.
Wasn't it all, like, gloopy and, like, fatty?
So fat. I had a favorite lunch in elementary school from the cafeteria, which was the spaghetti meatballs with Texas toast, a chocolate milk, creamy chocolate milk, and I'm sure there was a square for one more thing.
And a lot of vegetables.
Oh, yeah, so many vegetables. Buttered vegetables. So that was the one day my parents would let me buy school lunch, is the Texas toast day.
Okay, my parents wouldn't let me by lunch. I don't know what it was. Yes.
Really? You had to bring your lunch every day?
Yes, yes. They didn't want me to, and it's not like the school lunches were expensive, but I don't know. That was definitely part of it. They weren't healthy.
That was the main reason.
Yeah. I definitely remember in elementary school, the milk cartons and like wanting to have milk, which is so weird.
Did you do it? Did you have the milk?
I think a couple days I was allowed to have like the milk. I don't know why that was the most exciting thing.
Did you get the sweet acidophilus?
What?
What is that?
I know it starts with sweet ass, but sweet acidophilus. I think I'm saying that right.
You said that once before and I still don't know what you're saying.
All right. Okay. So there were two milks. When I first got to like elementary school, there were two milks. I almost said vanilla and chocolate. You know, vanilla milk, the regular kind. Regular milk and chocolate. It's a blue carton and a brown carton. Mm-hmm. And yes. Then 1 year, all of a sudden there were red cartons too. And they said, this is sweet acidophilus.
What are you talking about?
Wait, I'm looking this up and you are completely right. Sweet acidophilus is sold at Kroger.
What is it?
It's milk. It's milk. It's a low-fat pasteurized milk to which lactic acidophilus organisms are added. I thought it was a Greek brand when you first said it.
Oh, so it's not sweet acidophilus? It's sweet apidophilus.
Acid.
Sweet. Okay.
Yeah, you were right. Acidophilus.
So maybe it was just like a lower fat milk and it wasn't whole milk. And that was the way that they...
bacteria added to it, giving it a tangy flavor.
Yeah, it's probiotic.
And thickened texture.
Yes.
I had milk milk with every single meal.
Did you switch to sweet acidophilus?
Oh, yeah. You know me. The new thing shows up, that's what I go for.
You're doing it. Can I tell you that it says that sweet acidophilus resulted in significant weight gain in humans and animals in all studies? Yeah.
I think that's why I'm so tall. And I did this into high school, and then I would go home, and that's what my parents would serve with our dinner was more milk.
Oh, God.
Wow. So much milk.
Strong bones. Such strong bones.
Iranians were obsessed with height and having their children like game the height system because we're not as a nation a very tall people. And so you would ask the pediatrician. This is like every Iranian has this story of going to the pediatrician, figuring out what percentile they're in the height game. And I was always in like the lowest 50th percent. And so were guys. And so the moms, especially for their boys, would try to figure out how can we make our boys grow taller. And so there was a radish milk concoction that moms would make.
Interesting.
That they thought would help the boys grow a few extra inches. I mean,
like
these guys
radishes
are like,
and dairy milk in dairy a blend. Milk.
Oh, yes. Gosh.
Yes. And I don't know if there was like a radish lobby. But every mom is looking at you, Rhett, and is like, something worked for him.
It was a sweet acidophilus.
Acidophilus.
Yeah, I'll be the like guy on the carton. Of course, that's like somebody's missing, so probably
you're lost.
Not. I'm not going to be the person on the carton. I've been found.
On the other side.
That would be very hard for you to go missing.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So you mentioned that your senior year, it wasn't cool to carry lunch. There was no like lunchbox situation at any point for you in high school, was there?
Not high school. I was definitely afraid to break out a lunchbox freshman year.
Yeah.
So I was brown bagging it by that point.
What kind of lunchboxes did you have in middle school? Were they like the plastic? Like, had they come out with like the igloo insulated stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Fabric?
Okay. Yeah.
No, it was plastic. Qbert was one of them. Remember Qbert?
Yeah.
Probably not.
But that's funny. I feel like just like us, by the time we got to high school, it was not cool to have a box. Yeah. You had to have a brown bag.
But I think there was some igloo adjacent things that were allowed that were a little bit more like utility.
Yeah, that hadn't been invented yet.
Yeah.
That technology was not yet.
They hadn't figured that one out.
But I do remember the brown bag being the coolest because it said, I don't give so much of a shit about this lunch.
Right. Well, and some people had thermoses. Link was a thermos guy.
Of course he had a thermos.
I'd say if he brought his lunch, most of the time it was a thermos.
Yeah.
Was that like soup or he was putting solids in there too?
Well, he's finding a way. He was trying to find a way to make everything into a soup.
Oh, really?
But mostly soups, yeah. He was like a Chef Boyardee kind of kid, yeah.
I see. I would think he was mostly a bring your lunch situation so that he could control
He didn't like anything. He didn't like what they were serving.
Yeah.
I would eat my lunch and then begin negotiating other people's lunches. Yeah. And their milks. If you had a sweet acidophilus that you hadn't fully finished, you knew what to do. You knew what table to show up at. I ate so much food. I have no idea how many calories I ate because I would eat when I got home. I'd immediately begin consuming more calories when I got home, and then it would just roll into dinner, and there's more, and I would eat that, and then I would eat before I went to bed.
Was your food consumption an issue in your house? Like, you ate more than your fair share? Like, that was a problem?
I think my mom just kept supplying it.
Okay.
You know? It was pretty cheap stuff. It wasn't top shelf items. It was just a lot of processed foods, a lot of refined sugars.
Will you excuse me to go a little researchy? Because I did... Because I was just interested, like, would I be able to Google early 90s, I say 1900s, early 90s school lunches on, versus Stevie. Early 2000s. And of course, there's like a timeline of like federally instituted things that happened.
Right.
But in 1995, like the childhood obesity rates were at like a peak by 1995.
So this is like junior year for me.
And they brought in the Department of Defense to help, which is so weird. But they had been tasked with providing freshly grown fruits and veggies to American public schools. And it was a part of the program that also supplied Army bases. But they were like, we need some kind of like fresh produce situation. I guess the Department of Defense can help. And then by 2005, which was our junior year, an estimated 50% of cafeterias offered meals from fast food places. So the cafeteria was like McDonald's and Taco Bell and all the things. And then it wasn't until 2010 with the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act from the Obama era where nutrition started becoming like a real part of school lunches. So like you existed at the peak of the most unhealthy.
Right.
Well, I guess arguably we kind of both did. We just had more variety in our unhealthiness. But I thought that was really interesting. And then, of course, 2018, Trump rolled back some of the nutrition and then it was reinstated in 2020. So there was a brief two-year period where we went back. But, you know.
Well, it kind of tracks that 95 was the peak of this problem because that was the year that they installed the Trojan Cafe. And this is not a little spot that was sponsored by condoms.
Mm.
That was our high school mascot, was the Trojans.
Okay.
And the Trojan Cafe was a little island in the middle of the cafeteria that served non-square pizza. So, like, pizza that was actually... You could see it
in a
circle, and it was like triangle pieces, and chicken sandwiches.
Like fried chicken sandwiches?
Yeah. And Otis Spunkmeyer muffins. You know about these?
Mm-mm. Yes.
That's the like big double, I mean, they got multiple ones, but the one I always got was the chocolate muffin with chocolate chips, and it's in that plastic bag, and it's really big.
So it was a muffin, muffin, pizza, and chicken cafe.
Yeah, and— Once that rolled around, I would say 90% of the time, because it was cool to go to the Trojan Cafe. I don't know why, but you know how something becomes...
In the middle of the cafeteria that you were already in.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it was like, yeah. You guys like go and get like a tray with like three things on it. Like I get pizza, a chicken sandwich, and an Otis Spunkmeyer muffin. And of course, I still get sweet acidophilus. I gotta get that. But I ate that
Turns out, joke's
so
on
often.
You.
I mean, like, I don't know how I didn't get tired of that.
Yeah, and they were like, there's no need for condoms at this school.
Yeah, the Trojan Cafe, man, we just tore that place up and it was not good. And one time we got progressively more mischievous as we were in high school. And I don't know whose shoe it was. It was either my shoe or Link's shoe, but it was, we decided that we were going to do this. But it's like, hey, let's put one of our shoes in with all the chicken sandwiches. They'll never know who it was.
Oh, this was like a grab and go situation.
Yeah, but it's like there's a tray up there with just chicken sandwiches that are like exposed chicken sandwiches. And like,
oh, they're not even in wrappers or anything?
No, this is 1995.
You put your dirty shoe next to exposed chicken sandwiches?
Yes. Yeah, I can't explain myself.
Oh my God.
There was like just a gap where some people had taken sandwiches out. I was like, that's a nice spot for a shoe. And so Link goes, usually the way things worked is I would have the idea, then Link would be the one who did it. So I don't know. I'm just saying that's probably the default situation. I was like, hey, man, put a shoe up there. And he's like, all right. And so he put the shoe in there. And then we go and we sit back down because we like to do something.
So one of you only had one shoe on.
Yes, okay. Link.
Yeah, yeah.
And, and so it's like you go and you sit back down and then you wait because it's a little bit of a delayed gratification thing. And of course, you know, like 30 seconds after you sit down, somebody's like, you see somebody see the shoe and then they go talk to the lady. Then the lady looks at the shoe and they're like, what? Whose shoe can this be? Men's size 11.
Every second that goes by, that shoe is getting hotter and hotter.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got in trouble for that.
I feel bad that you guys didn't have like an outdoor space to go into because the cafeteria like stank. Like I remember that vividly, like the smell of school cafeteria.
Well, yeah, a bunch of teenagers.
And teenagers too. Like,
yeah, just, I mean, my kids have it so good because they just can walk off campus. Like Locke as a senior can walk off, like, I think every day.
Only as a senior.
Yeah, but but Shepard, he walks into town. He walks into town.
How long is that walk?
What do you mean?
Meaning that like he walks to the like little downtown area close to where he's at with his buddies at least once a week.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
Was in like so seventh nice. Grade.
We had senior year privilege where we got to go off campus, but we would often go to my house because it was close by and like we didn't have time. There was no time for like a sit down lunch often. And like,
no, the bell would ring and everybody would run to Stevie's car in the parking lot. We would run to Stevie's car. You and a couple girls had cars in our groups.
Yeah.
So we also had to go where you were driving.
So how big was this crew that would go to your house?
It was like a handful of people.
Four or five people.
And take their own lunch? Or you'd be like, oh, I'm preparing something for you guys with my Japanese
No. I think there's a special dish I remember, Nikki, and I don't know if it is in your heart that my mom would prepare sometimes for us.
I remember your mom always throwing in a little bit of those, what are those wiener dogs? The ones, the little dog, the hot dogs with the bread around them.
That's not.
Pigs in a blanket.
That's not the thing I was talking about.
Oh, or the little quiches.
Yes, the mini quiche.
The like, mini quiche.
So, okay. So it must have been like Costco was like starting? No.
We had appetizers at your house.
Greensboro's on another level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they had like frozen quiches that you could like little mini quiches that you could get from Costco. I feel like it was new. I feel like Costco was new. So there was like
Sam's
this is exciting.
Club.
Like you just pop these little quiches in. And my mom would make us these like little mini quiches in addition to whatever we brought for lunch. But it was so, like, that wasn't very cool. We would literally just sit in my kitchen and eat our lunch and talk, except for the days. Well, we didn't, none of us had any money, except for one of us had there was, money.
There was one girl who was, like, really wealthy.
Why didn't you go to her house?
It was too far away. She didn't live close by.
But that bitch always wanted to go to a restaurant.
Yeah.
She wanted to go to a sit-down restaurant during her 35-minute lunch period.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, with whose money?
Yeah.
Are you thinking about...
The one fit that happened? Yeah, we had... So the affordable lunch spot in town was this place, I think I've talked about it before, called Yum Yums. And it was it is like a hot dog place, basically. They have hot dogs and they have ice cream. And it's been around forever. Like, my mom, when she went to high school, they would go to Yum Yums. Like, we're talking like bright red hot dogs, and they were like $1, $1.50.
Yeah, super cheap.
Super affordable for a high school kid. There was like a fan on the outside that would blow like the hot dog smell out. And so like if you had to park on that side of the building, you'd always like crouch low to get under the fan so you didn't get
the hot dog smell?
No, because it was like that kind of like oniony. They were also boiled hot dogs. Like, it's not a smell that you want to carry around with you at school.
Yeah, it sticks around.
And it there's a confusing BO equivalent, you know, like
Is that food or BO?
Exactly.
The old is that bologna or BO?
The age old question.
And so, do you want to take over the fit story? Because it was a lunch day and we suggested perhaps we go to Yum Yums along with everyone else who's going to Yum Yums.
And we have had this debate many times. And she's a little girl too. She's small in stature. She just slams, she hits the side of the car and she says, "I want to go get Indian food." Just like, we can't afford that.
She wanted to go to the Indian buffet, the Indian restaurant.
I wouldn't even know what you were talking about if you had suggested that.
And she was very upset we were going to get the dollar hot dog with everyone else. Like, she literally took her fist. She was sitting in the passenger seat. It was the door, far what I remember. She like,
yeah, we all have these different violent versions of
very hard. And it was so out of nowhere. It was like, why are we having, we were like probably 18 years old at this point. You're having a violent fit about going to get Indian food.
No!
We went to Williams. We couldn't afford to go get Indian food. And also, we didn't have time to go get Indian food. There was no time.
I feel like her, I never got the lunch that I wanted. In general, like when we went out. Like my lifetime of school lunch, I never got what I wanted.
What did you want? And what did you get?
I always wanted the pizza Lunchable, right? I wanted to open that plastic thing, put that marinara sauce on, the pepperoni. Oh, I really wanted that. I got that maybe once or twice my entire life. But instead, my mom would always pack me this very healthy lunch, which was very nice. Thank you. Like, nobody packs my lunch anymore. But she would Americanize an Iranian dish, usually leftovers from whatever we had the night before. So, like, she would take beef kebabs that she would make, put them between sandwich bread, make this like egg and potato salad, Iranian potato salad, put it between bread. And these things on their own were fine. But when you pack that at 6 a.m. and your child eats it at 12 or 1, it's soggy. It smells like diarrhea. It's so terrible because like this beef smell would just go insane. And everybody would look at me anytime I opened
you're
up
talking,
my-
You're not talking about high, are you talking about high school?
I'm talking about elementary.
Okay,
middle.
Okay.
And then by the time we got to high school, she was giving me like deli meat because I
she upgraded you to deli meat.
She upgraded me.
Well, okay. This is a great time for me to break out my show and tell project that I brought because
you really are getting an A for your appearance today
on
the show.
And it ties in. I'm going to segue from both of your stories because your Yum Yum story. And then your mom packing something that could be considered embarrassing by noon. Let me just show you. So this is, and now I wasn't embarrassed by it, okay? Because this is my favorite thing that my mom would make for me.
Okay.
Brag.
Did you make this for yourself for today?
I made this morning.
Okay.
And I got very close to making it for Shepherd until I described it and he was like, "I'm good." So this is legitimately how I would get it, right? Okay, in the paper bag, and then this.
Foil, that's fancy. Oh, I already see something I don't like.
This is a hot dog sandwich. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm actually surprised at how well it's held up because I made it at like 7:30 to try to get it timed to what it would actually be. So we've got white bread, Wonder Bread, which I had to go buy Wonder Bread. I don't buy that anymore. And you
you
got
bought Wonder Bread for the podcast.
Look, and I'll just show you. You take two hot dogs and you do, oh gosh, I don't know if it's going to stay together.
Oh, wow. Did you long cut those dogs?
You have to long cut four wieners.
God.
Yeah.
Just like that. And then you do some ketchup and mustard. I probably could have done more ketchup and mustard. And then it kind of is like kind of suck. I mean, this is so nostalgic for me.
That looks good.
Just feel it. Just grasp it.
Are you going to eat it?
Yeah.
Well, do you want me to touch it?
I'm going
to
split it so you can have some. I brought a knife.
These are raw dogs.
No, I microwaved them.
Oh, God.
What?
Why would he eat a raw hot dog?
Well, I mean,
not that they come raw.
They were never
anyway.
Really raw.
They're always cooked, but you heat them up
so that they feel like they've been through like some sort of process. Look at that.
Wow.
Remember that A I said you got for the bottom?
I mean, and I was so pleased to receive this.
Stevie, what does it smell like?
It smells like, I mean, truthfully, it's just a hot dog on a bun.
Yeah.
Really.
It's just been around for a while. I mean, but there's nothing wrong with it. Just take a little bite.
Okay. I'm scared.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
Okay, look at your bite and look at my bite.
And I went pretty, you know, I was trying to be a little respectable on your podcast. Because I could eat this in two bites easily.
Okay, I get this.
Wow.
I totally get this. Also, the thing that I like about this is that, well, I guess I was going to say is that there's a lot of protein because I don't remember having lunch meats in my sandwiches. Like, I had, like, the classic PB&J for the most part, I think.
Yeah, I never but got that.
There's protein in peanuts. No.
There was, it wasn't a sandwich if it didn't have meat. Because bologna, cheese, like, bologna, American cheese, and mustard was like the go-to, right? It was easier for my mom. She didn't have to like microwave and cut the hot dogs. But if she had a little extra time, she could do the hot dog sandwich.
I think it's because I went to Jewish day school for middle school and part of
elementary
school.
Oh, that was not kosher, by the way.
Yeah. We were you're supposed to keep kosher, but because the rules are a little bit complicated, instead of saying you can bring something if it's kosher, you could only bring vegetarian things. And so the whole school was vegetarian. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So that's why I never got like lunch meat.
I almost bought Hebrew National, but I thought that was too on the nose. So I just did Oscar Mayer. Just the regular. There's so many hot dogs. I haven't bought hot dogs in a while.
Yeah.
That section is just overwhelming at this point. I was like, I don't know which one is the one that my mom got. So I know it was Oscar Mayer. So I just got Oscar Mayer. But there's like three different kinds of Oscar Mayer hot dogs.
Yeah. It's fancy times.
Yeah. Kids just, you know, they can't relate.
So you're going to be having hot dog sandwiches for the rest of the week, is my best guess.
I think that's probably all, though. I think I've had enough.
I love that Shep didn't want to have it. That's when you know. That's when you know it's bad. I also really, for my like, desired lunch. So I said that I didn't like lunch. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. It's because it was like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Like there was nothing about lunch that I was like, oh, this is tasty or exciting to me. To the point where sometimes I wouldn't eat lunch. And then by the end of the school day, I'd have a bad headache because I was probably dehydrated. I didn't have lunch. And I also needed to wear glasses, but was too embarrassed to wear glasses. So the end of the day was bad for me all around. I had a major headache and I was like, hydrate me and feed me right when I got home. But I do remember coveting the Harriet the Spy sandwich of choice. Do you remember Harriet the Spy with Michelle Trechlenberg?
No, neither of those things ring a bell.
There was a movie. Rosie O'Donnell was in it. It came out. Like, Cassie also didn't see the movie, so I understand. But for us young people, oh, crap, she's going to listen now. And anyway, it was a popular movie, probably when we were in middle school. And she would take tomato sandwiches, which were just white bread, mayo, and a chunk of tomato.
Yes.
And that was, like, her go-to sandwich. So I thought it was really cool. So I was like, I want tomato sandwiches.
Those are good. That was really good.
Those are hard to keep again because that bread gets wet.
I didn't take that was not a school thing. You didn't take tomato sandwiches to school, but we had them. We had them at home for sure.
Stevie, my mom would not do well with you not eating your lunch. She had this thing where she was so against food waste. And
Oh yeah.
We would get in trouble if we brought our lunch bag home full of food. And so I started just kind of throwing away whatever I didn't keep. And she got, I don't know what happened, but she somehow caught on. And this is when I was younger in elementary school, but she started telling me that there was a little birdie that was watching me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start when I'm 8 or 9 years old. There's a little birdie watching me to make sure that I finish all my food. Mm. And I guess like little birdie was like God, right? Because he was just like always watching to make sure I wasn't doing something wrong. And so the little birdie would always kind of look, I would still throw away my lunch, but like a little bit look around behind my shoulder to see any birds around. Everything was there. Then she upped the ante and she said, there's another person involved with all of this. His name is Mr. Gibson. So she made up this guy named Mr. Gibson where if we actually threw away our food and got away with it, she was going to send us to Mr. Gibson's farm to clean toilets and farm his land. And she had this whole like cadre of fake people that was watching us to make sure that we weren't wasting food. And I am sure that this has fucked me up somehow. I am sure.
You've never trusted a Gibson.
But I've never trusted a Gibson. And for a long time, I really was like, okay, I don't really think there's a birdie that's following me, but maybe someone is watching. Maybe there is some way that she's tracking this. And so I became really good at just finishing what I was doing.
So it worked.
Until
this is good
college.
Parenting.
Up until the point where I went to college and we had a buffet, and then it was like, you don't need to finish everything on your plate, okay?
Right.
I like that this she is how you get the started freshman 20. At birdie, and then she was like, that might be
enough.
Too abstract.
Enough.
Mr.
Yeah.
Gibson has a farm and he has toilets.
Mr. Gibson is in close contact with the bird. Yep.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Is there anything about your, like the way that your mom prepared lunch for you or the kind of liberties that you seemed to have with lunch foods that you have consciously like enacted with your children?
Well, it was funny, you know, being from North Carolina and then also my mom, she only drew a line on really sugary cereals. So you could have mm-hmm. all the processed meat and all the refined sugar you want. But if like,
right.
There was like a character associated with it that was like crapping out marshmallows or something like that. I was like, no, we crossed a line.
Yeah.
So we had to eat regular cereal, but everything else, we could eat anything. And so nothing was off limits. And there was definitely no like, what are the ethics of this particular fast food chain or whatever? But then moving to California in 2011, I mean, I've told this story before about how a bunch of the kids' friends had never. They kept meeting kids who had never had fast food, like never been to McDonald's. We took a kid to In-N-Out for the first time. And when we were in the drive-thru, we were like, what do you want? And he was like, I think I'll have a burger. And then we come to find out he's never had meat.
Did you get in
and
trouble
we were
with
about
his
to give him his first burger. But when Jesse was like, hold on, you haven't, but you don't eat meat, do you? And he's like, no, but I'd like to try it.
And please don't tell my parents.
But she was like, I'm not going to be the person who introduces you to meat. And so he got like a grilled cheese. But anyway, that has influenced the way we think a little bit more critically about what we're giving our kids. But, you know, honestly, Shepherd has essentially just like, he's got his Jimmy Dean sausages that he makes for himself in the morning, and then he's got like just the cold cut sandwiches that he makes or Jesse makes for him, who, you know, usually he makes them for himself.
That's what I was going to ask is like, I never made my own lunch, and looking back,
same.
I'm like, man, that's ridiculous. I don't know why my mom wasn't like, get up, make your own.
Oh yeah, my mom did everything for us.
Yeah. But I guess that's not, is that not, it's also not cool anymore? Like at a certain point, like you want to make your own lunch for school?
No, I just think that, the dynamics have changed over this past generation. Yeah. Like my mom was like, I'm going to do everything. It was almost like attempting to do something at home for yourself. She was just going to get mad that you weren't doing it right. Like, I'm not going to let you do the laundry because you don't know what you're doing. Let me just do it. And so, you know, and so she would just do everything for me and my brother and my dad. You know, she just did all of the housework, and that involved all the meals and all getting everybody's breakfast ready, packing everybody's lunch, and it was just like, it wasn't even up for discussion.
Yeah,
that you would be like, I'll step in and do. No, you won't.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So it's more or less just Jessie is not. She just doesn't function in that way. So it's like, hey, if you're either gonna have lunch, if you make it, you can have it. If you don't, then you won't have it. That's the kind of the default.
You can walk into town.
Right. Well, just walk into town from the desert.
Lunchtime was this like coveted time, right? Like recess was when we were younger. It was just, this is when you were with your friends, you got to hang out. And in middle school, they used that time as an opportunity to punish students as well. And so I would frequently get in trouble in school for
talking.
Yeah, not for grades. But I talked too much. So many of my report cards says, talks too much. And I'm like, well, maybe you should have been more interesting. But I talked too much. And so they would give me what's called silent lunch. Have you heard of this?
Yeah. Because it was like another time where you could have like a detention type of thing instead of after school.
Yeah. It was mortifying.
Were you in the actual cafeteria? You just
such
couldn't
a
talk?
Bad girl.
This was the worst part. You were in the cafeteria, sitting in the middle of the room while everyone around you sat at the booths to eat. You were there by yourself, sitting in a section of other students who also had silent lunch. It was like, it was one of the most shame-inducing.
Yeah, lots of shame.
Things that
did
could
you have
happen.
A teacher sitting with you?
The teachers were kind of close by to make
was
sure
the birdie
you weren't talking.
Close by?
Mr. Gibson, everybody was in on it. But it was this thing that I got kind of, you know, maybe once every 2 months. And I was so ashamed. And I thought I would get in a lot of trouble with my parents. I didn't admit it to my mom and dad until like 2 years ago. I was like, by the way, I used to get silent lunch all the time.
Oh, they didn't know. They wouldn't
they
get
didn't
like,
know.
Oh, okay.
No, they wouldn't get notices. And they, to my surprise, were so upset. I thought they would have been like, yeah, Nagin, you deserved it. But they were like, are you kidding me? I can't believe that they did this to you. Why didn't you tell us? We would have said something.
I thought they were retroactively upset with you.
Me too. I thought that's what you were meant.
That's probably what they would have been
that's
in most
so
cases.
That's so interesting. I in middle school, I told you I was a troublemaker and or the class clown, and I would get in trouble all the time for talking in class, except for like I was a real asshole. Like I thought that I was being sly and like the teacher would turn around and I'd you know, mouth something
do
across
something.
The room and then like try and like gaslight them into thinking that I didn't say anything and that they
Throw
were being ridiculous. And like, you know, like I was a real jerk, but I got in trouble constantly for that.
What was the punishment?
I remember silent lunch was also a thing
we didn't have that.
At our school at that time. In third grade, I think I've told you this, I got in trouble and pulled to the side and got a talking to because they said it's not nice to laugh at people when they get hurt. That's when I really got in trouble for.
What happened? Was it funny?
I just think it's really funny when people not get hurt seriously, but like, you know, if someone trips or like accidentally like, you
know,
they
never
falls
seen
back
AFV?
Or like, yeah. But I understand it's not very nice. You have to gauge the situation.
Usually you shouldn't be like within earshot.
Yeah, right. As long as there's no blood.
No, but that's how you like, that's a test for me is like if you're with someone and they don't laugh at themselves when something happens, it's like,
you gotta
oh,
laugh
I, don't
for
think,
them.
I don't think this relationship's going to work out.
How often did you do this?
How often did I laugh at people?
Yeah.
It must have been a problem because I got taken to the side. I don't know. I do remember we had those like science lab stools. And I remember at one point we were all standing up and before it might have been Lucinda Melvin, honestly, before someone sat down, I remove stool very quickly. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, fell back onto the ground, which was at the time, I guess, very funny. But like that, now it seems such.
Well, I mean, yes, just to contextualize this, I mean, that kind of stuff happened all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you were looking for ways to make people fall down. Mm-hmm. It was just common. But
our bodies could handle that too.
Yeah.
When we were younger.
Well, we would do that thing where somebody would get into a ball, like in the tornado drill, behind someone, and you would just go up to the person and push them over the person who was kneeling down. I mean, it's just like so, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I know the tornado drill.
So you get, your buddy crouches down behind somebody, and you go up to that somebody and you just push them, and their feet hit the person crouching and they fall over.
Yeah.
On their head, basically.
And it was just like constantly everyone doing this kind of stuff to each other. But like now, if Shepard came home and was like, "Dad, let me tell you what happened. I got teamed up on." I would be like, "What? This is a trap. I mean, this is an outrage. I'd be at the school immediately, right?" If I had told my dad that that happened to me, he'd be like, "Well, you got to keep your eyes in the back of your head."
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, there was no sympathy for that.
Man, I remember in high school now, in the Grove, everybody would be at lunch and the boys would all try to, they called it shanking then.
Oh, yeah.
Pulling their pants down.
Yeah, that's what we called it, too.
Oh, there's an evolved Pantsing. Version of that on TikTok now.
Where you grab the people's pockets?
Yes!
Yes, I found that this weekend.
Oh, my God.
There's this one guy that they've done it to twice.
Grab them pockets and then you, essentially, you rip their pants.
Their whole jeans come apart. It's what? Awesome. I'm thinking about doing it to somebody here at Mythical.
Keep like, those eyes in the back of your head.
I mean, the first one I saw, I thought it was trick pants. You know, where do you get these trick pants? And then I watched another one and I was like, oh man, this is something that you can do to just regular pants.
Yeah, yeah. I saw one, the poor guy was like, they were like on tour or something. He was like a grip or something. And the guy came up and ripped his pants and he goes, oh man, these are the only
pants I brought. Yes. I saw. So listen, I watched that one. And then two nights later, last night, I found the other one and it was the same guy and they did it to him again.
Oh no.
Like when they got back,
he keeps getting pants.
Got back to work, and he's like talking to this girl in the stairwell, and then a guy comes up and does the same thing. Then
I would, yeah, no, that's not for me. That's not for me.
I feel like guys wear tighter underwear now, so when you do get pants, it's just your jeans that come off. But like loose boxers were the thing
that's
in the
true.
Early 2000s, and so everything would show.
How do you know what the thing was in the early 2000s?
Because I saw victim number one get pantsed in the Grove.
That's someone I actually do remember.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked about lunch in elementary, middle, and high school. Lunch today, is there any shareables about how you've evolved your lunch practice? You made a really funny joke, Nikki, at the top that you don't eat lunch.
Yeah. That's really funny.
Let's bring that one back. Thank you. Thank you. No, I prepare my own lunches. That's the biggest difference.
But like what kind of, are we talking like a sandwich situation? Because I have a go-to, I go through phases, I think. I think this is a common thing where people go through food phases and they keep going back to the same food and then they'll switch to the next phase of food. My current phase is basically like crudité, like vegetables, like carrots, cucumbers, radishes, and hummus. Mm-hmm. And like some nuts. And I love
for a
it.
Lunch?
For lunch. Because I'm in so many meetings and oftentimes I'm in a meeting while I need to eat and I just like the grabability of it. And I don't know. That's what my current obsession is. Yeah.
I would like for that to be mine.
What is yours? These like hot dog sandwiches.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be finishing that. It's funny because we, you know, there was a time in which we were... Like we would go grab lunch.
Yeah.
You know, go out while working at the office.
Yeah, it seems like so long ago.
And I don't know when it was. It was definitely pre-pandemic. It was like somebody had the idea. And this isn't, lots of employees still go out. But at this point, for me and Link, it's every single day, there's just a lunch order that we get in on.
Yeah, like,
there's just somebody's production.
Yeah,
doing
if I'm in the office, yeah.
And then at this point, I hate having to make that decision, and I like everything. So I just say, get whatever I got last time, and I'll let you know when I want to change that. So most of the time it's just like, this is just something that's coming.
Pre-decided
so
for you.
It's okay. Not, so it's not as exciting as it used to be.
I remember one of the first times I went out to lunch with you, and it's very weird because it was at some kind of fast food place. Like, we chose to go to fast food, which is so odd. It definitely was, you know, early 2013. And I remember it because I was filling up my soda at the soda fountain. I think it was me. And I heard someone say to someone else, like, those are those guys from YouTube. And they didn't realize I was with you, I think. And I remember being like, that is so weird. Like, I can't believe he recognized you. And this is what it was in 2013. And so I remember coming outside to sit with you guys and going, that guy in there recognized you. And then I remember another time we went out to lunch, I think at the fish place that you guys like that I really don't like, which we won't name. And I remember seeing a guy had his phone, and he had obviously Googled you. And so you were on his phone as we were walking by. And then, like, and these are both, like, you know, long enough ago, and we used to go out to lunch together. And since then, obviously, it's more overt people coming up to you all the time. But
right.
Yeah, I remember those specific instances of being like, oh, this is so weird. This is so cool. People know who you are.
This is cool.
And then, the evolution
eating
of that.
Eating fast food out, like getting to go
fast food.
Fill up your drink
That's
at the fountain.
That's a choice we made. Like, we were like, you want to go to Hardee's? Oh, not Hardee's, I guess.
Hardee's.
No, well, and that was, you know, that was kind of, I didn't really understand LA lunch culture, right?
Yeah.
Because Link and I, just a couple of years before that, were just working in Lillington, North Carolina.
Yeah.
And so you could go to Burger King, you could go to Hardee's, McDonald's, Subway,
or the
Bojangles,
Trojan Cafe,
right? Yeah, Trojan Cafe. You could show up at the high school and be like, "We're just here for the Trojan Cafe." Ignore us. And so I think we just adopted the same mentality. It's just like, man, I'm gonna spend too much money on lunch. It's like, let's just go. Like, let's go to the fast food place. We get in, get out.
So weird.
And then there was a shorter period of time when it was like, oh no, like LA has all this food that you can enjoy and you can kind of go sit outside and have a meal. There was like maybe 2 years where that happened occasionally, and then it was like, no, let's just eat here at the office so we don't have to get
into
the car.
Yeah, it's so much easier. It's so much easier. It's so much sadder, but it's so much easier.
Yeah, and like you said, half the time at this point, there is no lunch. Like even right now, right? Like me and you have a meeting, and
I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, I know
and you
when
have
we're
a meeting
gonna
in
eat.
15 minutes.
yeah.
And it's a meeting that we can't like be eating in.
Yeah.
So sometime between now and 15 minutes from now, I have to consume my entire lunch, which is not a problem for me.
And that brings me to my my next thing, which is thank you so much for being here on the podcast.
You know what? It was my pleasure. I'm glad I got to share this meal with you. feel free to have my half.
No, I'm good.
As well.
We can share the real lunch we're going to be sharing in a short period of time. And for all of our friends listening, thanks for tuning in again to Best Friends Back All Right.
You can catch brand new episodes every Friday. Make sure you follow so you don't miss an episode. If you're enjoying the podcast, leave us a review.
Hey, if you've already left us a review and you're looking for something else to do with your hands, you can go to mythical.com right now and check out our Always Proud Pride collection. I'm really excited about this one. Mythical.com, check it out. You can follow at Mythical Pods on TikTok for clips to share with family and friends. You can follow Nagin at Nagin and me everywhere at Stevie W. Levine. And of course, you can hear me every Monday through Friday on Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link at youtube.com/goodmythicalmorning. I'll see you there.